We here at Sports Best Friends acknowledge Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people as the traditional custodians of the land, water and sky throughout Australia on which we record. We recognise their strength, diversity, resilience and deep connection to country. We pay our respects to elders of the past, present and future as they hold the memories, knowledge and spirit of Australia.
Hello and welcome to the Big Cat Chat podcast, a podcast all about the Penrith Panthers. My name is Jack Martin. I'm joined by my co-host, Nat Hanrahan. Nat, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm as good as I can be the day after the Blues lost Origin 1.
Tough night. Always, you know, heavily invested for Penrith, given we had six players in there. So it's it feels personal, I think.
Yeah, it really does. It's a weird thing. I'm always so proud of when our players get picked, but now I just have so much more stress with it.
Yeah, like, it's such a double-edged sword.
Yeah, like I'm never going to go out there and like violently defend our players like you see a lot of people doing on Twitter.
Yeah, no,
but like,
so
but it still gets you down though. Like, it's.
I was just going to say, someone on Twitter told me yesterday that I was a fair weather fan because I suggested the troll should come in for Stephen Crichton. So even when you don't blindly defend your players, you still cop it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing is I'm like, I can criticise like Cleary's performance, for example.
Yeah.
But like, I don't want people to think I'm one of those weird Penrith fans that doesn't like Cleary.
Yeah. Well, who's the one in this group, in this podcast that suggested he should be stripped of the captaincy? It's not you, Jack.
I mean, true. Yeah, but I also said that we should get rid of Edwards to keep Crichton before the season started. So.
Yeah. So I think you're safe in terms of Cleary.
Yeah. I'd forgive anyone for thinking we actually hate them. But it's like, I actually find... So the women are playing tonight, which is a nice, quick opportunity for us to get some good feeling back.
Yeah,
but I actually much prefer now, like, cheering on the Sky Blues, like the women, because, yeah, I don't have any club allegiances with it. And so I don't have the stress of worrying, hoping that my players do well. I can just support all of them equally.
Yeah, I get it. I agree. It's... It is really stressful. And I think I found myself as well yesterday, like it's hard because our players are all over the field. So it's not even like, I mean, it's probably better on the left edge. I was really happy the left edge kind of came off. And every time they got the left, they were going towards the left. I would feel myself like tense up because I was like, please don't do something stupid. Please don't do something stupid. And then when they'd bring it over to the right, I'm like, okay, if it's stupid, it's not our fault as much.
So it's
funny. Like, we'd like bated breath.
Yeah, it was like, I would get nervous too because Luai hasn't set the world alight this year and Crichton has just had the sloppiest hands in the comp pretty much at times. But like, they were pretty solid. And then, you'd go out to the right and you're like, you just get an opportunity to yell at Tedesco, which I'm always keen for. So
we get the opportunity last night. Did we ever?
Yeah, he was. I'll thank you right now, James, for giving us plenty of opportunities there and Queensland plenty of opportunities to score some tries.
And just deflecting a little bit from other people's performances. So really helpful for a Panther Panthers podcast for that performance to have been put in.
Yeah, I was desperate for a scapegoat and getting out-jumped by Lindsay Collins, that really did it for me.
That really did take the lead away, didn't it?
I was thinking about the game today. I mean, I have been all day. But that try, the second last try, the one that Hamiso scored, when that break was made, I don't think I've ever sworn so much in one single sentence in my life.
Yeah.
Like, I'd probably I know you're allowed to swear in a podcast, but our podcast would probably just like get banned from the internet if I like just said it again right now, like, and because like, I was just so, so angry. And I know that one, that was a team effort.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
And it was a prime example of how Cameron Munster can just step up when they need it.
And he probably felt the fact that Turbo had gone off, Nico had come onto a position that he isn't familiar with, and he just pounced.
Yeah, like, because you can even see, like, you know, Nico Hines isn't a bad one-on-one defender by any means. But if you look at that play, you can see how close Cleary and Hines are standing next to each other.
Yeah.
And it just shows that there's some positional issues. And it reminded me of the end of the Souths Panthers game that we lost, where they just targeted that mixed up edge.
Mm-hmm.
And I was arguing against it with Victoria at the time. She was saying, well, now that the 18th man is activated, they should bring Matt Burton on. And I was like, yeah, no, don't.
Can do that. I didn't realize that that was me. I thought, why would you not bring on Burton? That's wild. He's literally a center and a good defensive one at that.
Well, so I think I'm pretty sure the protocol is that Burton then comes onto the bench. And so it would have to be, you'd bring Nico on and then interchange him off for Burton. And so I was saying, like, oh, don't waste an interchange, blah, 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 whatever. But like, oh my God, use up that interchange. I don't care. Like, we need this win.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was just, the entire performance was weird. I felt like they tried to just, like, shift it around in the middle far too often. And then when they would get wide, they would hold the ball for too long before giving it to the outside backs and not give them any room to work in.
Yeah.
We saw a few bombed tries just due to ball hogging, pretty much.
Yeah.
And then when they would try and push a pass, they would throw it 3 meters behind whoever was meant to get it.
Yeah. It was so sloppy. I don't know what they're doing. Like, what are they doing at training? Like, it's so, like, I don't know, it's so sloppy and disjointed that I just don't know what they work on. Like, does Freddie think we've got these great players, like, they'll just know what to do? To an extent, that's true, but you still have to coach them and you still have to have a plan, and it just doesn't feel like there's a plan. We don't even know who the main guy's meant to be, and it feels like Nathan and Teddy are kind of fighting over that. Not fighting over that, but they don't know who's meant to be the boss in the team.
Yeah, like, it almost feels like the old school when Robbie Farah wouldn't pass to Mitchell Pearce kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure.
And you're like, someone, they need one of those two needs to be told, no, you are the second option here. Yeah. Everything goes through the other player.
Yeah.
Now, I'd prefer for it to be Nathan because he's a better player. But if they want it to be Teddy, then they need to make that call. Because, yeah, like we're not there, so we don't know exactly what's going on and all that stuff. But it can't be that all of these very good players just turn to shit when they put a sky blue jersey on. Like, because they've won series before, you know. It's not as if they're overawed by the concept of Origin.
Yeah.
Like, I would argue that someone like Nathan is actually a little bit too calm and a little bit too conservative in Origin, rather than, you know, we saw some plays from some of our players last year throwing silly passes down our own end and stuff like that. That's the kind of thing you don't see from Nathan, but he also just doesn't come out of his shell at all, and he plays it almost too safe, I'd say. And then, conservatively, it's the same. You know, his clearing kicks were very good, but the bombs were all the exact same ones, and there was no variety in the kicking game, where you saw Munster looked up, saw Tedesco out of position, put that grubber in, try.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the little things like that where you go, it's not as if these players are better than our players. It's just that they seem to have more freedom with the way that they play. And, like, yeah, at this point, is it all purely coaching?
Is he away with the premiership?
There's a lot to think about. There's a lot. I personally don't think that Teddy and Nathan can coexist in a team. I don't think they follow each other at all. And I think it needs to be one or the other. I don't think that's going to happen, unfortunately. I don't think they're willing to make that call. But I think anything that happens in the meantime is putting a Band-Aid on a problem that is still going to be there. They have never complimented each other. Like, even if you think back through the time they've played together, we've had the series win and, you know, like they won the World Cup, but I don't watch those games and think, oh my God, those two players were phenomenal. Like, it's not them. Like, I think the 2021 series win, that was really Latrell and Turbo. They were the ones really pushing and spearheading that game. And you didn't see Teddy as much. And it was mainly their brilliance. And I just don't think that these two players fit well with each other. And it makes sense. If you look at the fullback that Nathan plays with every week, he's a totally different player to Teddy in that he's not selfish.
Yeah, like you see similar at the Roosters too, I'd say, where a lot of the times certain halves aren't exactly gelling with Tedesco. And I wonder if it's because, you know, up until like the age of like 27 for him, every team that he was in was like really crap. Yeah. And so it was just throw the ball to Tedesco and get him to do something. And he needs to just like calm down with the ball. I mean, be a bit more intense without the ball, please. You know, don't slip over. Like there's just clearly something that's not gelling there. And I think you're right. Like even early on in 2018 and 19, when we won back-to-back series with Nathan at halfback and Tedesco at fullback, it was more Maloney's team then.
Yeah. Yeah. Got wild at that time.
Like, yeah, like crazy. That was a very vibey team.
Yeah,
and it feels like they're still trying to just run on the same vibes now, and you know, earthing and doing yoga, and I don't know. I assume that every food other than like an acai bowl is banned from Origin camp and stuff like that. And you're like,
weird.
At some point, run some drills.
Actually, do something, because it feels weird. It doesn't make sense. And it's the same stuff we saw all. They haven't improved since last year. They haven't got better.
No.
They got worse.
I think they've got worse.
We'll go through and speak about each of the Penrith players, maybe from like bizarre, like go up in numerical order.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, first one, Brian Toto.
I actually thought he was wonderful. I thought he was great.
So did I.
I thought he was an absolute machine. Like he just really played well in my view. I saw a few people saying that he had two defensive misses, but I don't think they're attributable to him. So I'm not stressed about that. I think he played wonderfully. It's the same stuff we're used to seeing from him, but it was really helpful in a game where we needed someone to be that guy. And he just did what he needed to do.
Yeah, he was very good. He basically played like the Brian Toto that you see every week. And that's what he does. You know, that's the level that he's at all the time. And we saw it from his first carry to his last. There was that line break he made off the kick where I don't know how many times we've seen that with Penrith, where it's just such a massive help because it gets your entire team behind the ball from play one. And it puts the Queensland defense under enormous pressure immediately, because not only do they have to chase down this line break, but then they have to make decisions because they have an entire team that's now in the play. And yeah, I thought he was phenomenal. He was just about our best player. I'd say there's probably a couple who were a little bit better, but that's because they play in positions that have more involvement.
Exactly. I think he wasn't maybe the most influential, but I thought he was awesome.
Yeah. And I think those discussions about misreads in defense, I feel like wingers often just cop the harsh end of the stick on those, because like the wingers' only choice, unless it's a horrendous miss, like some of the ones we saw Mike Acevo do against the Cowboys last week, more often than not, it's that they have to follow their teammates and do what they do. And sometimes if the defense tires in and the attack moves the ball out fast enough, or, you know, hits a killer pass like Walsh's to Cobbo, then the winger is going to look like they're stuck in no man's land. But really, they can't just leave a massive gap inside.
Yeah. Yeah.
Otherwise, Walsh is just going to run into that gap. And
they're a bit tight on them.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I feel bad for wingers in that situation because people are just going to look at the last defender.
Yeah.
And sum it up based on that, which I really don't think those were his fault at all.
And unless you're wildly out of position, like some other players were yesterday when they shouldn't have been, like, I'm okay with missing a tackle here and there because, yeah, like, if you're the last line of defense and other people have missed it before you, can you really blame them unless they're drastically out of position? And then you can. But I don't think Toa ever is out of position.
No, no. I think he was perfectly following what his inside men were doing. And yeah. It's another example of, rather than it being an individual thing, it's a team failure.
Yeah.
And Queensland just got the better of us on those two plays, basically.
I'm no expert. I just love the game. But more than that, I love the community. If you're a fan of rugby league or the NRL, you'll love Big T's Tees. Unique, affordable, and made for fans. Find a link to the online store in the show notes below. You'd look good in one of Big T's Tees.
The next one, Stephen Crichton.
I actually thought he was pretty good as well. I think he had a high error rate. I was listening to Bloke in a Bar earlier and they said that he had 5 errors, but then they realized they were counting, you know, the tap-ons that just didn't work. They were counting those as errors. And then they attributed that to not actually be an error. And then NRL.com had him having 2 errors, which is a bit better. I think, yeah, rocks and diamonds. Like, the try was excellent. He looked exciting every time he had the ball. It looked like he actually was going to offer something, which was good. But then just a few decisions that were a bit here nor there, when he maybe could have passed and didn't. There was one where he really should have passed to Bizza. And, like, look, Bizza may have gotten out, but I also kind of back him to have gone through. Little glue hand moments like that. But, look, to be honest, I was worried about him, and he did better than I expected. It was his best Origin game, in my opinion.
Yeah, I actually think it was probably one of his better games overall this season.
Yeah, where, I agree, actually. That's why I was so impressed about him playing.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I was similar to you, where I was a bit worried about him, in all honesty. I didn't think he deserved to be there. I know he was only there because there were 2 injuries before that.
Yeah.
But he did his job. You know, he wasn't the best player on the field, but he was a lot closer to being the best on the field than he was to being the worst on the field.
Exactly.
And a few little weird handling errors, but at this point, that kind of just is him. He tries things, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, the greatest players take risks, and he's that kind of player who he does take risks. But one thing that you know is that he scores a try in basically every big game he plays.
Yeah, he does. And at least they looked like they were trying something. They looked, they were communicating with each other. They had a combination, and that is way more than we can say about the other side. So I don't know. I was quite impressed with him. I was worried about him, and I was quite impressed with, you know, I would say that he was on the better side of the team for sure.
Yeah, 100%. I still think he'll drop out of the team for game 2, but that's not because of him. It's because, just better options will be available.
Exactly. He's got an amazing player that is always going to be in there. And I think that's so fair, and I think that's fine, but I think he did his job really well yesterday, and I was quite proud of his performance.
Yeah, he's definitely one that can hold his head high after that effort. Jerome Luai.
I thought he was fantastic. I thought he was really good. I thought he was probably, I mean, if we were to win, I would have put man a match between him and Liam Martin.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. He was he played like the Jerome Blue Eye that we haven't seen for a little while. I mean, we saw it against the Roosters the other week.
Yeah.
But it was nice. It was simple. He used Liam I'm Martin like second. He used to use kick out.
Hang on, I've seen a spider. I need to kill it. 1 second. I need to kill it before I can go on. I can't sit in here knowing there's a spider. 1 sec. I've got to find a shoe. Oh, I hate this. I hate this so much. Oh,
for all the listeners, Big Cat Chat does not endorse animal cruelty unless it's to spiders.
I think I did it. Sorry.
No. I'm going to demand that we leave that in as well because that was quite funny.
I don't know where it's gone. I think I killed it, but I'm not sure.
Oh, I hope it doesn't crawl on you when you're asleep.
Oh, my God. Luckily, it's upstairs.
They can travel. They can move.
My gym bag. I'll actually... Oh, okay. All right. Sorry, everyone. I think I've sorted that out. I don't know where it's gone, though. Oh, whatever. It's okay. These things happen. Oh, I fucking hate spiders. Where did it come from? Hang on. Let me just see if there's anyone next to them. Okay. All right, I'm finished. Sorry for that interruption.
Just before we go on, I just want to tell you about the time I woke up one morning with a spider in my mouth.
That's fucked up. I'm sorry. I fucking hate spiders. My least favorite. How big was the spider?
It was pretty small. I woke up coughing and I coughed a live spider out.
No, I'd actually cry. I wouldn't go into work that day. That's just fun. So cool.
Maybe sleep like face down tonight or something. Now that there's a spider loose.
Yeah, move out.
haven't you just moved?
Yeah, we just moved, and I'm like, fuck, it's spider infested. Ooh. Okay. What were we talking about, Jerome Luai? Maybe you can just. Start what you're saying again.
Jerome Luai, he was quite good. He at sometimes in attack it looked like he had spiders on him. They couldn't keep a hold of him. I was gonna say he used Liam Martin like he used to use Viliami Kikau, I thought.
Yeah.
Where he just gives him the ball direct into the line so he hits it at the perfect speed. And that's something that I don't think we've seen him do too much this year now that he hasn't had Kikau next to him. And he played simple, didn't overplay his hand, and it was really good. I thought it was very underrated the way he held the ball for a second before giving it to Critter for that try, because Cobbo could have easily intercepted that.
Yeah.
Instead, he shows... digs into the line slightly more and then passes it around Cobbo to him. I thought that was just simple, but it worked. And yeah, I agree with you. One of our best, if not our best.
Yeah, I thought he was exciting from the beginning until the end. He offered something in attack. He was trying things, but he wasn't, like, I think we've seen him a little bit this year for Penrith do really dumb stuff, like kick on the first or second, and he managed to not do that, which was great. So he had a really good balance of trying things without being excessive with it. And I just thought he was really good. I thought he was very involved. He had 2 try assists. I was really happy with his performance. And I actually dare say it seems to be the consensus. People have stopped short of blaming him, which is good because that's what we're expecting.
Yeah, and anyone who blamed him clearly didn't, like, take his performance based on its merits, and they've gone into it with an idea and haven't changed their minds, which I don't blame people for going into the game with doubt in their minds, because he wasn't the form player in the comp by a long way, but... he proved a lot of people wrong.
Yeah, and I was super happy with
him. Yeah, and while I think there needs to be some changes to the team, he's at least done enough to hold on to his spot, in my opinion.
Oh, I couldn't agree more, but I don't know if that's enough. Like, I feel like he could be a good scapegoat. I've already seen a Fox article saying that it's time for him to go, which is wild. Like, did you watch the game, James Cooper? but I feel like he's an easy. He's an easy scapegoat. So we'll see. But it would be silly if he should keep his spot. Absolutely. I think putting Hines in six is going to solve precisely nothing. So, I mean, they can try it, but I don't think it's going to go well for them.
Yeah, especially when Luai's role in the team's actually quite small. What you're then doing is you're limiting Nicho Hines. So this is where it starts to get slightly worse. Nathan Cleary.
Yeah, it's going so good. Oh, I thought it was terrible. I didn't think it was a good performance at all. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was good. I am so confused at him because he is so good for us and he's so good in the grand finals. It's not a big game thing. He's good in the grand finals. He knows what he's doing. But then just seems to lose his way in Origin. I don't know if he's nervous. I don't know what it is. But it's not the play that we're so used to seeing.
Yeah, I thought he was shit. Look, the one redeeming quality I thought of his game was that, yeah, a lot of the time when we were in poor field position, his kicks would relieve a lot of pressure. But other than that, it was not good. It was his worst Origin game by far, in my opinion. There have been other New South Wales losses where it's felt like things might not be going right for Cleary, but he's pretty much got the team on his back and he's doing everything he can, but everything around him is falling apart and he can't do much more than what he is. But this, it just felt like he was purely there to just hand the ball to someone else straight away.
Yeah, I agree.
And it was like he would either give the ball to Jerome straight away, which would work out all right sometimes. Looked at all right twice, pretty much. Or he would just quickly give it to Yo, who would either push a pass too hard or take a carry. Or he would give it to Tedesco, who would run 3 meters forward and 23 meters wide and get tackled on the fourth or the fifth. And there was no variety to his play. He was predictable. He was not the Nathan Cleary that we see in club footy. He was not the Nathan Cleary that we saw play for Australia.
No.
I wonder, is it just his role in the team that he has to just direct the forwards around and then give the ball to the flashier players in good area? Because if it is, it's not working.
No, it's not working.
He either needs to take on the creativity himself or get out of the team. Like, that's the last thing I want to happen, but a change has to be made.
It does. It's been long enough now. I think someone said it's like his 15th or 16th Origin or something crazy like that. Like, that's a lot of Origins. And I know he's young, but I think he's too experienced that we can't really just let him off the hook with excuses anymore. And I just keep waiting for his breakout game. And I thought this year would be it, but he just didn't look like he'd improved from last year in the Origin arena. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's really weird because I'm desperate for him to just come out with an absolute starring role. But
we all bloody love that because it would shut up a lot of people. And that's all we want. But I haven't seen it yet and I can't sit there anymore and not talk about him.
Yeah.
I'll just ignore him.
Yeah, like I think he's got I think he's got two games to save his Origin career.
Yeah.
Otherwise, a new coach is coming in, and I think the new coach
won't have loyalties.
No. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if the coach kept him around, but at the same time, I would be, not surprised at all if they decided to go, with Nico Hines or Mitch Moses or something instead.
Yeah.
As long as it's not Moses, please.
Okay, I'll take Nico. Like, he seems wonderful. Please, yeah. Jesus.
Yeah.
I can't go with that.
No. Something's got to change. One of him or Tedesco, in my opinion, can't be in the team come game two.
I fully agree. It's the last thing that's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing, is it's the captain and the co-captain, so I really doubt it happens at all.
But I'm kind of over this captain stuff.
100%.
You know what I mean? Like, you're the captain, yeah, the co-captain, like, awesome. That doesn't mean that you're immune. Like, that's so dumb to go off that logic. Like, they're not going to drop the captain. Or, well, yeah, okay, well, are you going to keep him there until the day he retires? That's stupid.
Yeah, exactly. We did it with Paul Gallen. How did that work?
Exactly. We lost 100 in a row. Like, yeah. I don't know. Weird.
That's that's the back line sorted. Next up is Isaiah Yeo.
I was disappointed. I love Isaiah, love him. But yeah, I was a little bit disappointed in his performance. I don't think he was bad. I don't think it's possible for him to be bad. But he just didn't seem to be his usual self.
Yeah, I think he was, the positive to his game was in defense, as usual. He was very good.
Boy. Yes.
But he made 38 tackles, which is the second most in the team, and missed none. The most was Coruscant with 41, who missed 5. So, but with the ball, mm-hmm, yeah, like, he looked all right when he ran it, but he didn't mm-hmm run it enough, you know?
He was just a little bit unsure of himself.
Yeah. Like, it's like they were obsessed with just, shifting side to side. And the amount of times that he would throw it, like, just get, like, behind Tedesco or someone like that. And what it does is it kills the attack straight away.
Yeah.
One thing that I noticed was that in this game, on paper, our strongest three middles is, Yeo, Parlor, and Haas.
Mm.
And the three of them, with all three of them on the field, we only played 8 minutes of the game,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
which I feel like is a massive underuse of those three.
I agree.
And I'm wondering if I can look for any excuse for Isaiah, it's that he didn't have enough people going forward for him. And so we weren't going forward that much and he was pushing it wide. But in that circumstance, you just take it forward yourself.
Yeah.
You make that strong carry. He does it for Penrith enough when we need it. Hmm. You know, sometimes when we need a forward to make like a 15-meter run and drag the defense with him, it ends up being him most of the time. And we just didn't see it last night. I was quite disappointed in him.
Yeah, it wasn't his best game. He just seemed a little bit off. Again, like a communication, it feels. And we've seen better. He's usually so good in this arena as well. He's a really good Origin player. So it's disappointing.
Yeah, I was very disappointed. It's his worst game in Origin. And that includes the time you had to play Stunner.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, he actually did a job. They didn't score on him. So, now the final one. We saved the best for last, it seems. Liam Martin.
Wow. What a guy.
I know.
He was amazing. He was so good. Like, he was easily our, he was our best, hands down.
Yeah. He played the best game of footy that I've seen him play in a year and a half.
Yeah. And I was really happy because there was a lot of people who were wanting to justify his selection because he hasn't played much footy this year. And for some reason, people think he's plodder, which I totally, totally, totally disagree with. But, you know, even his amazing performance for Australia couldn't shut up some people. And the way he came out, I was just like, oh, no one can deny this. He was incredible.
Yeah, like he's the opposite of a plotter, by the way. If anything, he plays too fast.
Oh my God.
And that's what lets him down.
I don't know. I don't get where he got his reputation from. I think he's so good.
Yeah, I think people see someone on an edge who they think should be in the middle and they go, oh, well, he's a plotter out wide. And it's like, well, do you fucking watch him?
Yeah, exactly. That's just my main comment.
Yeah, not everyone can be Viliami Kikau. So, you know, but last night he basically was Viliami Kikau. He did everything. He was a hitman in defense. He ran it hard and straight when he had the ball. He got rewarded beautifully for it. He did everything that Hudson Young has been doing at club level this year, pretty much.
And yeah, he did.
Yeah, which we needed it.
Yeah.
And you know what? He has done enough to hold his place for sure. I still like him coming off the bench. I actually think he plays better off the bench, which is like he comes on once, you know, one of their edges might have still been out there the entire time and just hits that hole and punishes them. And yeah, perhaps that 1-2 punch of Hudson Young, as long as Hudson can keep his cool, of him, then Martin, that might be the go from now on. That might have been the one gem that Freddie has stumbled upon, pretty much.
Yeah. Yep.
So
I think,
yeah.
Like, gone are the days where it's a negative thing to be coming off the bench. It's not negative necessarily. And I think that he's a really good impact player, so I like him coming off the bench.
Yeah, like you look at this Penrith team alone over the past couple of years, it's had Spencer Lenu and Scott Sorensen coming off the bench.
Yeah.
And it's before that, it was Moses Leota. Like, yeah, like there's absolutely nothing wrong with being a bench player in a good team because you're going to play just as many minutes and it just means you get put into the game at a more effective time.
Exactly.
So yeah, that's a nice positive note to end our Panthers origin reviews on.
Yeah, I thought he was wonderful. I was really, really proud of Liam. Go Liam.
Yes. It's all in the last name, I say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You would say that.
Yeah. Have I told you about I like convinced these people once that I was related to him?
No.
Yeah, it was early on in he's probably only played like 5 games or something at this point. And he scored a really good try against Manly. And I was like, oh, he's my cousin. I'm like, really? And like I got out my ID and I showed it to him. I'm like, yeah, look, same last name. And I'm like, oh wow, cool. It's just blatant lie.
Just run with it.
Yep. Yeah. So sorry to those two random people if they are listening. Yeah, I lied to you. Sorry. I will. Yeah, I'm hoping he continues this role at Penrith. I wouldn't be mad if he started on the left, actually, but I honestly don't mind either way, whether it's him or Sorensen that starts there.
Yeah, me too. It's the same sort of sort of player, so I'm not too fast. I trust in Ivan on that one.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's a coach I can actually trust.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, Freddie has given me trust issues. It feels like I'm having a team coached by Anthony Griffin once again.
Oh, I fully get it.
But on to more positive things. I've been thinking about this, right? So you know how we used to kind of say that we were Penrith's good luck charm because they had won grand finals the entirety of the time that we've been doing this show, because we started it just before they won in 2021.
Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking, are we becoming a jinx? Because last time we recorded, we had just lost to the Tigers. Then we didn't record for a couple weeks, and Penrith have won three in a row and are top of the table again.
Oh, God, imagine if they lose this week. We're never recording again.
Yeah, exactly. If we lose to the Dragons, consider this show on hiatus.
Totally. I just would be too embarrassed to come back from that.
Exactly.
Well, obviously, depending on who we play. But, yes, I would be very happy to not have that happen. God, I hope that's not all our fault. Please don't come for us, guys.
Yeah, this change of fortunes has gone from me believing that we're the good luck charm to actually me just believing that good luck and jinxes don't exist. I just got to pick something to help me sleep at night. If we then, you know, don't lose another game for the rest of the year, I'll go back to saying we're the good luck charm.
Absolutely. We'll get our agenda.
Yeah, exactly. you know, every other piece of rugby league media does it. And, you know, if we want to be proper journalists, then we've got to be like it too.
Absolutely, we've got to fit in.
This Sunday, it's like we got the 6 p.m. Sunday game, don't we?
Very annoying, but what can you do?
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to that time slot, to be honest. I don't want to be cold. 6:15. Yeah. Okay. Penrith Panthers versus the St. George Illawarra Dragons. What do you make of this, Nat?
I think we should win. Even if we rest some players, I expect us to win against the Dragons. I would have no excuses for losing to the Dragons. Like, losing to the Tigers is enough. Please don't let us lose to the Dragons as well.
Yeah, we can't lose to a team that has lost its coaching candidate and its sponsor in the same week.
And I don't think I feel good about it. Like, I'm not worried about this game. I'm not really thinking about it because I just think it should be okay. God, famous last words, but I do think it should be okay.
Yeah, I do agree with you in that, like, I also hope that, like, Ivan Cleary has been paying attention to the game, though. Because the Dragons have had some, like, weird performances this year. Where you can see that there's a good team there. But then they've had so many other performances where you go, oh, God, these guys shouldn't even be in the comp anymore. Like, overall, I feel sorry for Dragons fans in general because they are a joke of a club.
Yep.
And there's a lot of very depressing reasons why, which I don't think we even need to get into. But we should handle them, even if we do rest players. Like, our extended bench has Cogger, Garner, Jenkins, Eisenhuth, Henry, Tango, and Lenu on it. I would feel comfortable if all of those players came in and played, to be honest.
You
do. Like, I have full... Well, did you see he said that he's good to go?
So he should be there.
Yeah, although he's also made claims about other things before, which I don't agree with, though. So
you don't trust everything that comes out of Tonga's mouth.
yeah, yeah. Look, I'll listen to him when he talks about his own peck. I won't listen to him when he talks about vaccines. That's just all I'll say. But yeah, I'd be very keen to have him back. Tyrone Peachy has looked better and better by the week, but I think he'd look even better if he was playing New South Wales Cup.
Like, thank you for not being horrendous. You now may leave.
Yeah, like, good job. You did the minimum. Now, fuck off. We have to keep that agenda going, by the way, that he's crap because we both announced it straight away.
I will keep that going happily.
Yeah. One thing I'm expecting is Dylan Edwards at least 2 tries.
He's going to come out. He is going to come out. Like, he'll do what he does every single week, but I just think he's going to have a game.
Yeah. He is going to show why in 3 weeks he will be wearing the sky blue jersey. Not navy blue, sky blue.
Yeah. It's it makes me like nervous. Like, I'm obviously excited and I love nothing more on this planet than for him to get that jersey, but I'm so scared of the bullying that might come from it that I'm like also nervous about it. But weirdly enough, he is probably the number one player that I would feel calmest about ahead of a debut. I just think he would do such a good job.
I also think like he has been bullied so much before that like I'm almost like he can take a little bit more.
Oh, absolutely. And he has not had a bad game for like 3 years straight. So I don't anticipate that would start now.
Yeah. Like, I know Penrith players over the past couple of years have become a bit funny when they pull on that jersey, but Dylan can be the one to drag them out of that funk, you know?
But he would be, because he's so important to the club that no one seems to realise that. No one wants to add in another Panther, but they don't realise that this is the Panther that's the gel, and if you want to add any other Panthers in, this is the one to do it, because he'll get the most of it, the other Panthers.
Exactly, because the question over the past 2 years has become, can Penrith win without Edwards?
Yeah.
And so, you know, since you've already picked 6 of them, you basically need to ask that same question about the Blues.
Yeah.
And you just know that, you know, he will be there if Cameron Munster puts a grubber into the in goal. He will make better contact on Sell and Cobbo. He won't slip over, I hope.
He will make a decent, he won't just graze someone's shoulder and consider that a tackle.
Exactly. He will leap higher than a prop. He will win a grand final with a broken foot.
Mm-hmm. And then he'll win Churchill the next.
Exactly. He will make a try-saving tackle in a grand final.
Yep.
One thing that I'm thinking, though, is how many extra zeros does that put on his contract if he plays State of Origin?
Christ. He'd probably get him up to a million.
Yeah. So maybe, you know what? Maybe no.
Because we can find it. We'll find it for him. We have to. We don't have a choice.
Can we sign him up for 5 years in the next week?
We really should. We should.
And then do it. Yeah, with absolutely no like representative clauses in his contract.
None. Good idea to me.
And then that way we don't have to bring back the city country as you want, just so that Dylan can play rep footy.
Exactly. He can get it anyway. I just feel like he deserves it so much, and I would love to see it. And I think he'd lift everyone else. He'd be safe, and everyone can be just as obsessed with him as we are, and it'd be so fun. So. God, I hope it happens.
Yeah, because, like, he's one of those players who you go, like, he deserves it, but will he ever get it? Like, Preston Campbell, I always thought was the same, and he never got it. But sometimes it's not about just picking the flashiest player in every position or the biggest ball hog in New South Wales' case. It's about just picking the guy who's playing the best footy, and that's him.
Yep, and it has been for 3 years. Like,
exactly. Now, if Spencer Lenu has a big few weeks, do you think he gets into the team?
Yeah, which I do actually. He's exactly the sort of player that I think Freddie would be, yeah, looking to add for sure.
Yeah, I think it'll either be him or Campbell Gillard, if either of them makes a successful return from injury in place of TPJ, who didn't exactly play like Penrith TPJ.
No, he didn't set the world on fire.
No, no. Okay, random thing. I noticed you liked this tweet of mine. Did you also find it strange to just in the middle of State of Origin see Matt Eisenhuth on your TV?
I'm trying to remember it. I don't even know if I remember it.
He was in, he's doing commercials for Yui. Yeah.
That's such a random choice.
Yeah, it was Harry Grant, Matt Eisenhuth, Elise Albert, who she plays for Parramatta in NRLW, and Ben Cummins.
That is a random choice. I wonder how he got that gig.
Yeah, like, you know, like Harry Grant played for Australia, Elise Albert played for Papua New Guinea, Ben Cummins refereed multiple grand finals, and then just Matt Eisenhuth. I'm loving it for him. Yeah, I think he deserves it. But, you know, it's the same program where the ads included Cleary, Yo, and To'o for McDonald's. So I just found it very, very strange and very random.
Good for the hoof, I say.
Yeah, up the hoof.
Yes, we love him. He's actually been decent lately, like when he's come in this year.
I think people are unfair on him.
Yeah, he's not as plottery as I thought.
No, I even see Penrith fans being quite harsh on him, where I'm like, he's never exactly a handbrake on the team. Like, not everyone can be James Fisher-Harris.
Yeah, exactly right.
Obviously, if he's in the team, something's gone wrong because he's not first choice, but he's never let us down.
Never.
It's just everything going well. Stay out of our team, please.
Yeah. True.
Yeah. Are there any other Panthers that we could force into the team? I'm still going to sit on my agenda of Zach Hosking.
No. there wasn't anyone who was horrific enough for that to happen.
Sorry, what was that?
There wasn't anyone horrific enough for that to happen, in my
opinion. No, I know. Just thinking that if Freddie is going to make a scapegoat out of someone, it wouldn't surprise me if it was the Knights player.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think Tyson Frizzell was actually very good. And I also think he scored a try, by the way.
I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, I thought he was very similar to Martin and Murray, where they're both, all three of them were just very good. I'd like Zach Hosking just to make me feel correct, especially after some of the shit I was saying about Tungo and Bryce Cartwright a few weeks ago.
Yeah, give you something.
Yeah, I need a win. All right. Well, thank you to everyone for listening to the Big Catch Out podcast. If you want to follow us on Instagram, you can find us at Big Cat Chat and on Twitter at Big Cat Chat Pod. Sorry, we were away for a few weeks. We're just very unorganized. Also, Nat was sick. I'm unorganized. You know, a combination of those two things. But, you know, as long as we don't lose to the Tigers too often, we'll be here every week.
Exactly. Depending on this result this weekend.
Yeah, that's right. If we lose to the Dragons, consider this podcast just done forever.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, everyone. Thank you for listening, and we'll chat to you later.
Thanks, guys.
Sports Best Friends would like to thank you for listening right to the end. You are our kind of people. Find other great sports podcasts in our family by subscribing. And remember, social media isn't a bad place. You just need to follow the right people.